This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Mike.
Hold on, I'm not fully up yet.
Okay.
Now I am. What's up?
Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been tossing and turning throughout the night recently, so I couldn't be happier. When we partnered with Lisa Mattress, I ordered the mattress online and it came compressed in a box the size of a mini refrigerator.
I've seen the box. I've seen two boxes.
I gotta be honest with you, Mike. I have never slept better in my life.
Ooh.
Yeah, dang right. Lisa is the most ingenious mattress ever. It's rated number one by Consumer Reports over all other direct-to-consumer foam mattresses.
There's so many other ones.
Mike, number one.
The first.
Hey, how about this, Mike? Let's talk about Lisa's three-layer sleep technology, all right?
I'd love to. It's going to make me hungry.
Lisa's perforated top layer keeps you cool and provides the perfect cushiony bounce.
I hate when you sink too far in, you get all hot about it.
Lisa's memory foam middle layer cradles and contours perfectly to your body.
I was cradled as a child, and I've never slept harder.
And Lisa's inner core provides long life, durability, and edge support.
Well, long life to support your long life longer.
Lisa is 100% American made and built specifically for you using their universal adaptive feel sleep technology. Simply stated, Mike, you're guaranteed the best sleep ever.
I trust it.
No more mattress store sales, pressure, or one-minute mattress auditions. Lisa is the Tom's Shoes or the Warby Parker of the mattress industry. Lisa donates one mattress to a shelter for every 10 they sell.
Very important.
Isn't that awesome?
Very important and awesome.
So guys, here's the deal. Lisa gives you a 100-night risk-free trial. Love your mattress, or they'll pick it up for free and refund your money. So guys, order now and save $75 when you go to lisa.com/banter. That's LEESA.com/banter, or use the promo code banter at checkout. Get a nice mattress, nice and fun. Have the best night's sleep or you get your dang money back and they'll pick it up. Ain't no nothing better than that, son.
Good luck trying to have those dreams where you can control how hard you fly, because you're bound to have a few.
You might have seven because of how well you're sleeping.
Time permitting.
Now it's time for the show. Good evening, young.
I was listening to the History Road.
The one we just did?
Yeah.
From the last episode?
Because yeah. I don't remember laughing at all in the last episode. So I was like,
you don't remember anything funny or something?
No. I didn't. And then I didn't remember anything from, I think I was totally checked out by the time History Road rolled around.
Yarks.
And by the middle of it, I was crying laughing when you were doing the like overly English accent.
Yeah,
really, really good.
It was my Tim Curry impression, sort of.
Yeah. Transvestite. It was fucking real good.
I fucking love Tim Curry, dude.
Yeah.
Do you love Tim Curry?
I love Tim Curry ever since Congo. Amy, Teardrop Drink.
Dude.
Bad Gorilla.
Hector Mahomolka.
Was that his name?
Mr. Homolka, stop eating my sesame cake. Stop eating my sesame cake. What are you doing in my country?
Someone had to write that movie.
Yeah, dude.
Someone wrote that movie on paper.
They don't make movies like that anymore, I realized. Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
You just want them to just live in nothing?
Yeah.
And you want them to never be a thing?
Yeah.
You want them to never be a thing again?
I don't want a Congo 2 ever.
I don't want... Nobody wants Congo 2.
Congo 2 went straight to conversation. That's how bad that movie was.
Oh no.
It was a straight to conversation release.
Oh no. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Timothy Bush. We were talking about how I'm having a very busy day today.
Dude.
I filmed the whole morning as a fictitious wrestler named Fred. And now I'm doing this in my relaxation window. And then I have to go host a stand-up show tonight. And we were talking about how I can't memorize people's names.
Yeah.
I only have like four to do tonight. So that's not bad.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
But then we were going down the line of like fake, what sounds like they might be actor names. Oh, and it was my favorite conversation we've had today.
Just before we were recording, we had a delightful discussion about real celebrity names.
Yeah.
That are not what you think they are.
No. The blanket celebrity names.
Dude, this is actually kind of a fun game because there are some celebrities that are household names, for better or for worse.
Bob Saget.
Arguably household names, like a Bob Saget. And did you know that we are pronouncing their names incorrectly?
Bob
like
Saget's bad. Name is not Bob Saget.
It's
Bob
Chazet.
Bob Chazet.
Bob Saget. Bob Saget.
Jennifer Lau Haywee. No.
Like, you know, this name, I'm going to be very surprised if you know this name.
Catherine Auger.
Do you know John Lithgow?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so you know John Lithgow.
Of course.
We have at all, every one of us, been saying his name wrong forever.
Yeah. His name is Eric DeBarge.
His name is Christina Plummer.
It's so weird. One person says John Lithgow and that shit really catches fire.
It's actually John Lithgow.
Okay.
John Lithgow.
Was he on a podcast recently where he aired this grievance?
I mean, I think this has been known. The John Lithgow has been known for like maybe, I mean, it's probably always been known, but I think it hit pop culture like years ago, like 2 or 3 years ago.
So after Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, way after. I think he did like a, so some kind of like talk show, and he like set the record straight or something. Yeah.
So
no, no,
you can't yell today because my eyes are gonna pop out of my fucking head.
Mike, I really want to talk about busyness.
Okay,
not business. Are you even plugged into this?
Yeah,
you're plugged in.
No, I can hear it 100,000%. Busyness.
I want to talk about busyness, but I also want to talk about Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi?
Not even kidding. That's how you say it.
Buscemi?
Buscemi.
Not Buscemi.
Net.
People always pronounce people's names the easiest and whitest way. Yeah. You ever notice that?
Dude, there's a guy on Lost, and you know, we have our Lost podcast.
Yeah.
May I plug it?
The podcast that you wanted to upload, but you can't find it on your computer?
What?
You're Lost, or is it about the show?
I see what you're saying. Wow, that took me too long. That took me way too long.
We're usually on the same
level. You just snuck up on me with that one. Oops.
You know who would have gotten that joke?
DeBarge. Oh, John Lithgow? El DeBarge?
El DeBarge. We reference El DeBarge on every podcast.
Dude, I love how you understand more music references than any of my other friends.
Cool.
But you also know the least movie references of any of my friends.
Hell yeah. Well, everybody's a pie.
Everybody's a pie.
I got 25% shitty music references, so it pushes out all the movie things.
I love it, though, because it makes it harder to kind of like get a little zazzle in there for you.
Sure. Well, you can add the zazzle.
It makes it a little game, and I like it. It's fun.
Good.
What were we saying before this?
Business podcast.
Oh, the Lost podcast. Yeah, on the Lost podcast, there we talk about Lost, and there's an actor on the second season of Lost, and he was also the Killer Croc in Suicide Squad recently.
Didn't see it.
And his name is Adewale Akinnoye Agbaje.
Okay, several names.
Shit, I shouldn't have told you. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I shouldn't have told you how to pronounce it.
And just try?
Because I wanted you to see if you could try.
Have me be the disrespectful one?
Well, because look at, do you see his name there?
I do.
Just.
It's hyphenated. Adewale Akinnoye Agbaje. Is that it? I've seen him, though. I've seen him.
Adewale Akinnoye Agbaje.
Yeah.
That's his name.
You sure is.
But here, I'm going to show you another name. Let me show you some names really quick. Let me get a look at you.
Yeah.
Let me take a look at you.
Let me go ahead and show me some names. Let me see a few names.
Okay. This one, let's see. I want to see if you can get this one.
We headed down to Wilshire Boulevard to see if we could see a few names.
Wow, I've never seen what he looks like. Oh. Okay.
Sherry Lewis.
Say this name.
Javier Grillo Marxish. Javier Grillo Maru. John Smith.
For those of you at home, or not at home,
yeah,
but
you
aren't
can
listening
be anywhere
to this,
right now. Go home before this next
go
part.
Go home to listen to this part. We'll wait.
You home?
just pause it. Pause the podcast right now.
Yeah, go to anyone's home.
And then hit play when you're in anyone's home.
Go into the closest home. And hit parge.
Quickly go into the... quickly and excitedly enter the nearest home. This is how this name is spelled. J-A-V-I-E-R.
Javier.
Space. G-R-I-L-L-O. Hyphen.
It's too long to visualize the spelling of the name.
M-A-R-X-U-A-C-H.
You just started throwing random letters in there, by the way.
Yeah. Eh, let's just put an X in there.
Javier Grillo Marxish.
Dude, the way you're saying it is very similar to the way we all say it on the Lost podcast.
How do you? How
we finally found out how to say it correctly, and we all say it like this. Javier Grillo Marxwatch.
Marxwatch. My new favorite Dave and Ross paint color.
Marxwatch.
Marxwatch.
Dude, we just did a new Dave and
I saw
Ross
Bree's
sketch.
In it.
Yeah, you're right. Bree is in it. That's kind of a secret, but it's okay.
Well, you shouldn't have posted that picture on the internet.
Well,
though. That's a shitty
way
to keep
really
a secret.
You can't really, like, it's not very obvious that
Bree's
if you
don't look at her face and if you've never seen Bree before,
listen.
No idea.
Listen, it could very well just be that what that is just Bree also doing a sketch on the same day.
No, that's dumb. That's a dumb explanation. Eric DeBarge.
I did a bunch of new Dave and Ross paint names, and probably only half of them will make it in, but I want to read them to you. You want to hear them?
Please do. I also did a thing. I'd like to make a new segment on the show.
Okay.
Called I Got Some Notes.
Oh, I'd love that.
And I voice dictated some notes just throughout the day because okay. I was like, I have nothing specific to talk about in the podcast. So I did some notes on today. And also a fun thing about it is I'm not going to correct the whatever auto spelling.
Oh, I love
changed
that.
Changed it to.
Dude, I had some segment ideas for shows where maybe this was, remember when we were pitching ideas for like a new table talk, like how to refresh table talk or whatever?
Yeah, I remember that.
I think one of the ideas I had was we do a thing where randomly we say, pull out your notes.
Yeah.
And you pull up your phone notes and you just pick a random note in your phone notes to read out.
I like that.
And because like,
we could do that on this show.
Let's just do it on this show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've got so much
shit
there.
People won't get half as mad at us if we change shit on this show.
No, not at all.
What do you do on the other
do
one?
Do a table talk.
I felt the wrath of the other show for sure.
I will say this,
by
though,
appearing on it.
There are some things in my notes. Fuck those people. There's some things in my notes that I almost don't want to share because they're like
too racist.
Precious bits that
okay.
I want to save for something. So
treasure bits.
They're treasure bits.
Do you go back to them often?
My notes, yeah. Owen and I will have like a random hour of an evening where we'll just pull out our notes.
Uh-huh.
And penises, and we'll just
touch them.
We'll touch them, and then we'll just be like, "Oh man, listen to this note. Remember this idea?"
Yeah, I like that.
Like today, like last week, I was like, fuck, there was this really clever name. Owen and I like coming up with clever names.
Like the
people.
Krimble family bit.
The Krimble family. Yeah, Krimble family.
That was like one of the first times we hung out each other's houses, and I was in tears at the Krimble family bit.
That bit is old. It's an old bit, and yeah. I don't know.
Dust off an old bit.
That's a bit to dust off. But
that's
basically,
a broken drill bit.
Owen and I came up with a production company called the Krimble family Oh, no, now I'm going to fuck it up.
And he's not here to save
it's like Krimble Family Productions.
Right.
And it is made up of the Krimble family.
No.
The entire, I'm doing this right.
Yeah.
It's made up of the entire Krimble family.
Works for the production company.
So Jonathan Krimble, Jane Krimble, and the Krimble family Productions produced a movie.
Directed by a man named Krimble Families. First name Krimble, last name Families. I tried to explain that to somebody once, and I was crying too hard and not doing it correctly at all. So they were like, yeah. This is a weird conversation to have the first time we hang out.
So it's a Krimble Families movie. Krimble Family Pictures presents a Krimble Families movie.
Two different people.
So anyway, so Owen and I love name bits, and another one we came up with was it was like a French woman named Jumin Frau Klausup, and it's. And when she appears on screen, the camera zooms in so fast into her face, and she goes, dun dun! Like she looks to the camera with her eye wide open.
Yeah.
Zoom in, Frau Klausup!
She's like Jason Derulo. She just screams her name.
Exactly.
Makes money.
So the other day, we had a really good one in Austin when we were at Fantastic Fest.
Yeah.
And I forgot what it was.
Was it Austin Fantastic?
It was an Uber driver named Ari Ving Now.
Ari Ving
Now.
Hey, Steve, it's Ari. I'm about to pull up. You check your app, you should say that about twice.
And then Lon, our great writer friend, who's hilarious, he works for Screen Junkies, he said he's got a brother named Lee.
Same middle name.
Leaving Now.
Oh.
Okay, here's some of the names we came up with for some paints for the next Dave and Ross sketch. And actually, I'm going to reveal now that some of these were given to me from a viewer, and I have their name right here.
Eric DeBarge.
Leaving Now. No, actually, Leave, L-E-E-V Robert, at Leave Robert, sent us a bunch of his Dave and Ross paint names, and they're so good. And should I read off his first, and then I'll read off the mine?
Please.
Okay, hang on. Let me find the full list here. This is going to be a good part of the podcast. Here it is.
Searching through the phone.
Okay. Papa's Nightmare.
Uh-huh.
Then he said, just yell, oh. Oh! Shaved Ginger.
I like that one.
Peter's Pants. Back Three School. Dude, Back Three School is so good. Midnight Sun.
Yeah.
Midnight Sun tickles me in an area that I love.
That's very, I feel like you would come up with that.
Yeah, Midnight Sun is very much one I would love.
Midnight Sun.
Midnight Sun also sounds like a, who's the guy that did Margaritaville?
A kid you're not proud of? Oh, Buffett, Warren Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett. Warren Buffett. Sandra Beach. Keanu
Beach.
This one's good. Dying Breath. Dude, I fucking love the next one. It's
okay.
So good. Cough Red. this one's good too. East Infection. Clean Shoe Soul, Tidy Brownies, and Month's Rent.
Dude, there's some winners in there.
Dude, they're so good. So I made my list, And I sent it to Owen, who was on set, and he was yelling them at me in between the ones that I would just make up on the spot.
Yeah.
But here's the list we made, which contains some of the ones that that guy sent us. So here they are. Cop glove. Nice, it cop glove.
Right? That's a beautiful shade of cop glove.
Confectioner's glaze.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Totally added that one in.
Oh, remind me to tell you a Donald Duck story.
Oh shit!
Because okay. I brought a piece of our podcast into another realm of my world,
dude. It's
and
spilling.
It was good. It was
our
good.
Podcast is there's a little opening in the top, and it's spilling out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oops. Somebody shook it up real mic. Go ahead.
I really just, I don't know if, I mean, read the fact that I read off Confectioner's Glaze maybe spoils it for fans of our podcast that finally watch that and then get it and then go, oh shit, it's from the podcast.
What are the chances that if you're a fan of this podcast, you listen to more than one episode?
Bad chances.
bad chances will be a good color.
Bad chances! Okay.
You can mix the titanium white with a little bit of bad chances. Bad chancery.
What about haberdashery as mm-hmm. a color? That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Back Three School, I added in because that's so nice. Fucking yeah, good. Yeah. Midnight Sun, I added in, as well as Cough Red.
Cough Red's funny.
Grigio. Grigio's one of them. Pop Zeppelin.
You ever do like a like bluish?
Yeah, well, I did. Off Red.
Off Red.
I think bluish is good. Bluish yeah, is yeah. a good one. I have damn sand. Belts. Gone Bad.
Can you? I feel like you need to. Is reading it as Dave and Ross taken away from the people who want to experience the sketch?
It's too much.
Okay.
It's right. too much.
Just do it as Stee.
Belts.
Belts is great.
Gone Bad. Tuesday's Table Read, which I think Owen didn't yell at me. He didn't like that one, maybe.
It's too long.
Hugly. Dude, this is one of my favorite ones that I've ever come up with. I really love this one.
Yeah.
Gay Frog.
Dude, you have to come out with some sort of a like a foods menu for paints.
Oh, that's a great idea. Like, well, I think okay, so in this new one we're establishing that he's selling paints now. And so it's like this latest edition has all of these paints in it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, yeah, maybe we'll do like a catalog, like a fake catalog advertisement. And yeah. it just has all the colors that you can get.
Yeah. And a little description.
Yeah,
I think that'd be
good.
Real good.
Bird spit. Coinge. And my dog died.
I think coins is a good one.
Coinge.
Good.
Coinge is great. Coinge is an old one that Owen and I used to Owen and I would like go get Subway or something when we were teenagers, and he would when he would pay for his sandwich, he'd say keep the coinge. And I loved it so much.
Go ahead and keep the coinge.
Keep those coinge.
Yeah, you're welcome.
He would also ask for quakewembers.
Quakewembers?
Quakewembers in his sandwich.
Oh, instead of cucumbers.
Good. Oh, no about it.
Oh, boy. Insta-mess.
Tell me about Donald Duck.
So I had a stand-up show last week that all day it was like today. I was very overtired, didn't know what I was going to talk about all day. And those are kind of stressful unless you're in a really good mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a really good mindset where I'm like, I got 10 minutes. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about.
Man.
Not super excited about any of my current jokes, but I can't wait to go up there and just be weird in front of people for 10 minutes. So,
when you have a set, sorry to interrupt, but when you have a set like that, when you're like, I have 10 minutes and I don't know what I'm going to say, I'm just going to get up there. Do you have your old jokes on standby?
Sometimes when you're in your muscle memory with your old jokes, when you have them in like your Rolodex, that's what all the good comedians do. The good comedians go up and they do crowd work, and then their crowd work evolves very naturally into something.
Into their set. I just had
Do you know who Maj Debrani is?
No.
He's a beautiful, hilarious comedian, man. He has a special on Netflix called I'm Not a Terrorist, But I've Played One on TV.
That's great.
And he was just in my kitchen the other day, and we had a nice little sit-down conversation. He was like, yeah, when you're good, you just start with crowd work, and then it just evolves naturally into jokes that you already have.
Wow, fuck.
And so I have a couple like that. Like if somebody brings up like a dog, I have several dog jokes.
Oh, okay. So you
just other stuff that you I'm excited
like,
to say.
Someone can throw out like a category or some, or like from the crowd work, someone says something.
What did you do
and
today?
It will like unlock your whole, like a repertoire of stuff, your arsenal.
You know that meme
that's crazy.
Of that woman and she's looking off into space and then all the the beautiful money calculations. Yes. That's exactly what it's like.
Dude, I love that.
At all times.
That meme's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's what's happening in all minds of stand-up comedians. Well,
I saw one of those memes the other day.
But all the math is wrong.
See, that's the thing. I have such a bad memory. I feel like I wouldn't be able to...
You say that now until you've been telling... I've been telling the calzone joke for like... Oh, shit. Shouldn't say this in public. I've been telling the calzone joke for like... 4 years.
It's a good joke, though.
Well, the thing is, like, I'll stop being excited about it when it stops happening to me every day.
Right.
It happens to me every day.
Well, there it is.
So.
And it'll never stop happening.
It'll never, ever stop. I'm 32 years old. Yeah. It'll never, ever stop happening. But yeah, man, that's the golden, that's what I'm going to try to do tonight because I don't have too much, I'm just fucking petrified about memorizing people's names. There are going to be a lot of Eric DeBarges tonight.
Dude, Mike and I were talking about this before the podcast started about how terrified we are of, like, I'm so bad at names.
In public.
I'm so bad at names.
Yeah.
And you really, it does come down to, the root of it is disrespecting people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I hate it. It's one of my worst fears is disrespecting people.
Right, because everyone deserves to feel special and you're hosting them. You're like, your job is to get the crowd or the audience, whatever, excited about their presence. And you're like, Eric DeBarge!
Yeah.
It was Bob Saget.
And also, it's like someone in your field and it's like a peer or like, you know, a coworker.
A verified, you might get a follow from.
Yeah. You never know. You never know who it is. Not like it really matters, but... But what does matter,
matters.
What matters is that everyone, every single person, even you listening, ma'am or sir, you are in your own world. You're living your world life. And when people come over to you and meet you, they are entering your little world.
Yeah.
And you need to act accordingly to that. You need to like understand that you're meeting someone's universe. You're meeting someone's piece of.
They're the main character in their own movie.
In their story, yeah. And you're
don't fuck your lines up.
Yeah, don't fuck your lines up. Just be respectful. First impressions are very important. And for us who are hosts, sometimes and. By the way, I don't want to be a host. I don't like being a host. It's not something that I enjoy doing.
If you're listening to this and you have a job for Steve ready to go, put a lid on it.
Dude, I told my manager straight up. I was like, I am not doing any more hosting jobs.
I can't handle it.
Like, honestly, it's just because
it's stressful,
at
man.
At SourceFed, you get to host the way you want to host.
Uh-huh.
And for that, I'm very thankful and grateful for. It is really the only place I've ever worked where they like, well, maybe that's not necessarily true, but it's one of the few places where you go in there and they don't comment on how you should host. They just put you on camera and say, host. And for better or for worse, they host. And I... just so happened to host a certain way, and it's weird and unconventional and polarizing. And
the number one characteristic you want out of a host.
Yeah, polarizing. Like my that should be my Twitter profile. The world's most polarizing host. But I I don't like doing it because when I go to host for people, when people go like, oh, this guy's got 100 billion followers or whatever. This guy's got this many.
All of them will watch this.
Yeah, they'll watch this. And I go and do it and they pay, which is nice. Mm-hmm. It's always like, okay, so I'm going to do it like this. And I'll go like, hey, I'm Steve Zaragoza. Boy, it smells like farts in here. Can't wait to bring in the first guest. And they'll be like, and cut. Oh my God, that was great.
But
love your energy, love your look. You are so funny. Cut out the fart joke.
This time, if we could do it without everything that makes you happy about being here,
cut out everything about you.
Yeah.
And just be a puppet that is being puppeted by our studio supervisors.
Yeah.
And don't say anything else. No, please stick to the script and don't talk about anything else. And it's not like, I mean, look, this is a great job and I'm not complaining about the job. I'm just saying hosting is a very particular job.
Yeah.
And oftentimes you are not allowed to deviate from a script or inject your own personality.
If you say yes to the wrong jobs.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, that's why I'm kind of turned off from hosting these days.
Let me tell you about this stand-up thing.
But one of the biggest fears of hosting is names.
Yeah.
Names.
Right back around to
that's the biggest anxiety I have for hosting. It's fucking names. And we'll get back to that.
I wouldn't have said yes tonight if the dude didn't follow up with, you got to bring about four people up. If I had to bring like 12 people up, which I had before, man. Last time I did it, I went up with a card, and that's no good, man. You don't want to, like, no one wants to see a guy tell jokes and then pull out a card.
And have like, to look at a card.
This next lady, good friend of mine. Fuck, I smeared her name in my pet. Jenna Kennebers. Jenna Kennebers. Let's bring her up. You've seen her all over town.
I've talked about this before, but one of my most embarrassing live moments ever was when I was on a panel with Mamrie from, you know, Mamrie Hart from the YouTube.
The only Mamrie I've
Very
I
hilarious
know,
woman.
Not 87 years old.
I love Mamrie to death. She is such a sweetheart, and she's hilarious, and she's quick and witty, and I love her. And I had never met her before, and I was unfamiliar with her work.
You call her Eric
and
DeBarge?
And I called her Mamrie.
Yeah.
In front of an entire audience that was probably 75% hers.
Yeah.
And it was like the fucking worst.
Mamrie instead of Mamrie?
Instead of Mamrie.
Mamrie.
She's so quick and funny. She instantly was like, well, you know what, Stove? I think that it's very much this. And I was like, I am the fucking biggest dick in Los Angeles. I felt like a dick. And I still to this day feel like a dick about it.
Yeah. Well, don't.
But she's such a sweetheart. And she has definitely forgiven me and knew it was just an accident.
But you haven't hung out since on purpose.
We have not hung out since. And she unfollowed me on Twitter.
That day.
No, I love her very much. But anyway, go ahead.
So I had a show last week. And didn't have anything to say, but I was like, I'm going to have a great time. Okay.
God, this is crazy.
So a bunch of people, it's November 2nd today. Last week, it was the last week of October. Everyone's talking about the election, even if they don't want to. It's right. So like close and ingrained. Mm-hmm. Every stupid comic has something to say about the election.
Sure.
So I'm like, I'm not going to be the only guy who doesn't say anything about the election. But I know full well I don't want to say anything about because I'm done with it.
Yeah.
Between working at SourceFed and hearing people, dumb people, talk all the time. Yeah.
And reading your Facebook feed and your Twitter
I don't even
feed.
Do that. I don't even go on Facebook because of it. I've never felt less
that's,
white in
you
my
know,
entire
that's funny.
Life.
You don't,
I've never
you don't
disassociated
Facebook, yeah.
myself with white people so much. Over the past couple months, I've been like, I'm Italian. I'm brownish and I'm Italian and I'm nothing like all these white people.
Wow, shit. I love it.
Anyway, there's one white guy right now. I'm like, fuck you, you white.
I thought you guys were great. Now you're not funny no more. Talk about that E.T. and Andreas.
Throw it over to that other white guy, Steve Zaragoza.
At least there's one white guy on this podcast.
Steve Zaragoza is still proud of me. What? So I was on stage and I was like, I'm going to be weird and I'm going to bring our podcast into it. So I grabbed the mic and I legit didn't say anything for a minute and a half. And I looked real pissed off and I was looking around the room and I waited until the initial laughter of that turned from laughter to weirdness.
Were you doing like breathing into the mic?
No. I just silently dug myself a hole. Okay. I took the mic off the mic stand. I very slowly put the mic over to the left and I held the mic up to my mouth, and I just looked around the room for like a minute and a half.
Love it.
And
love
like
it.
Some people thought it was funny, and then everyone went silent, and I said, I don't want Donald Duck to be president. And then it was another minute of nothing. I just looked in people's eyes like they wanted that, and I didn't want that. And I was like, you know, he comes from money, right? You know, his uncle just swims around in money. Is that what you want?
You just want this rich mallard in the White House.
And then I would tell some of my jokes, and then after they were done, I'd be like, I don't want Donald Duck. For president.
How can we elect a cartoon? We can't elect a cartoon.
So that was very fun.
How did it go over?
It was great, man. Every time, because people thought, like, this is definitely the last time he's going to say it. And I did it like six times.
I love it. One of my favorite bits is to take something everyone's talking about and do the exact opposite of that. Yeah. Like everyone was doing DM your crush day on Twitter. And so I...
Is that today?
It was like, I don't know, it might have been yesterday.
Okay.
And so I tweeted that I was going to DM my crush, and it was just a can of crush, like a photo of a can of crush.
DM crush.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
It. Very good.
So... Let's circle back to busyness.
Oh shit, yeah.
Let's get down to busyness.
Risky busyness.
Dude, let's write a sitcom called Let's Get Down to Busyness. Okay. And it's about a couple of busy boys.
It's about two guys furiously answering emails on the couch next to each other.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I am no longer a full-time employee at SourceFed. I'm a part-time employee. After being full-time for 4 years. And I did so to go work for ComicCon HQ for a little bit. Uh-huh. And then they canceled my show and Trisha and Anthony Carboni's show, which I have no bad blood about. It just happened. They canceled it. No big deal. It's just busyness.
Somebody else is busy.
It's just business. And so I was like, instead of turning right back around and going back to full time at SourceFed, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just do some other stuff too.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna just start to do freelance stuff and we'll see what happens. Like this is, you know, I'm 30 fucking 4 years old and I'm just like, this YouTube is a young man's game.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I can't just like crawl back to the fucking the teat that fed me for 4 years, and I feel like, you know, let me like, you know, I'll still be there and I'll still help out and I'll do whatever they want me to do. You know, they want me to come back in for some table talks and podcasts and whatever. I'll do all that. That's fine. But I like the idea of being like part-time so I can go to auditions and try some other stuff.
Go shopping.
But go shopping, maybe just have a break.
Yeah.
Have a Kit Kat.
Have one Kit Kat.
Yeah, and since going to part-time and not having the Comic-Con HQ job as well, I am busier than I have ever been in my entire life.
Yeah.
And it's fucking stressful and crazy.
But it's a good problem.
It's a good problem. Yeah. It is a good problem, but it's like, holy shit, I thought I was busy before with two jobs that were too like full 100% give everything you have be on all day jobs.
Yeah.
And going from that.
No one burps casually more than you. This is a rapid fire. Like there was a little factory in your sarcophagus.
Well, my body's working overtime too, baby. My body's stressed out, so it's also working faster. But I digest so fast.
Full day of burps.
I'll eat a sandwich and I'm ready to poop right away.
We call it the factory.
It's the factory.
Yeah.
But yeah, just dude, like you were saying, you said that right now this podcast is your relax time, or what did you call it? What did you call it?
This is my relaxation window.
Your relaxation window.
Yeah.
Well, this is my relaxation window as well.
Right.
And I was at SourceFed today, which is not one of my normal days, but I went in to shoot something very special. And then tonight I'm recording right after this, by the way, the first time show, the Lost show. We're recording it tonight with Brett and Owen because I'm going to Delaware.
Yeah.
I'm going to Delaware.
You're doing Punkin' Chunkin'
stuff. For Punkin' Chunkin', yeah.
I'm jealous.
Really? You're jealous?
Very much so.
I'm like right on the fence.
Delaware's New Hollywood.
Well, don't say that. Because everyone I talk to about Delaware says, why are you going to Delaware? When I tell people I'm going to Delaware, they reacted the same way as when I said I'm going to see Cats in New York.
Delaware's what Austin, Texas was 150 years ago.
Keep Delaware weird.
It's Delaware. Coming up in about 150 years.
Delaware was weird in the 1800s.
Delaware weird.
That would have been great.
First Portland.
But I'm packing it in, man. I'm really packing in the schedule. Uh-huh. And like,
because when you're freelance, I've been freelance since I graduated college. And when you don't say no to anything because you feel like then it's over. Then
yeah, nothing that's else the thing. Comes. Dude, 100%.
Yeah.
And I feel so bad turning things down.
Yeah.
Including hosting jobs, by the way.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, you know, who am I to turn it down?
Dude, my manager, my online stuff manager, Brian, I was texting him today. He was like, can you sign this and get it back to me? I was like, I can't even look at that until Friday. To put an electronic signature on something, man. I can't do that for a couple days.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy and stupid sounding, yeah. But it's real.
It's real life, man.
And he was like, what's going on? I'm like, I can't say no to anything.
Yeah.
And he's like, you need to work on saying no to stuff. It's a skill. And I,
is it really?
And I just started laughing. I was like, okay, Brian. It's okay.
It's a skill.
It's a skill to like politely turn things down probably. But if somebody's like, I've said no to stuff recently out of moral obligation, but that not as far as like.
I don't have very many moral obligate. I don't have any like moral decisions that hit me in my work life.
Sure.
They don't very
they're all
often
very situational.
Yeah I understand. I mean, I know it happens, but I just personally don't experience that very often.
Uh-huh. Is this how you hold it?
That's exactly how you. Mike is holding his microphone from the tip of the little tripod. Mic stand, I mean. Yeah,
Michael stand.
Dude, I understand fully.
Yeah.
The I can't even look at this document until Friday thing.
Yep.
Because it's just, I can't even. Friends are texting me mm-hmm. and calling me.
Hanging out with friends is something.
Dude, it's over. It's over. Like, and the thing is like, I don't think it stops. I don't think it's going to stop. I think this is our new life now, Mike.
Elliot has, got, you know, God willing, it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's good.
You're right.
And it's exhausting, but it makes the off time feel more special. And I'm very thankful. We're both very thankful that we're fucking working.
Of
Elliot's
course.
Getting mentored by a famous guy.
Yeah.
Who I'm not going to talk because
I
that's
know
Elliot's
who that
thing.
Is. Yeah.
But he says that's, you know, everyone, even guys at famous guy level, are always looking for the next thing.
Yeah.
It's never going to stop until we die.
Well, I was
probably
from
a stress related illness.
We have successful friends.
Just like the late, great Eric DeBarge.
Dan Drendel. We have...
Dan families.
Timothy Dindle. Timothy Dindle. We have some successful friends of varying degrees. One of my more successful friends complains daily about how, like, work is ridiculous and they hate their job and all this stuff. And it's like, you can stop and never work again right now.
Yeah.
And you will live comfortably and amazingly
and they have
for the rest of your life, but they're still in it. They're still in the stress world. Yeah. They're still in the like busy world and there's no signs of stopping. And it's discouraging and encouraging at the same time.
Well, while I pay my own health insurance and have no 401k and no house, you have to work as hard as humanly possible at all times.
Yeah. Dude, you really made me sad because I'm now in the same boat.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually do have a 401k, but that's because I worked at Sony for like years and years.
Well, that's very nice. I don't have that. So
I don't
that's
know what
cool.
to do with it.
You,
It
was like. Like a burp bus passing you by. Like
the
shit,
burpler,
is that the burp
it
bus?
It was a burpler effect. Is that my comedy special title?
The burpler effect.
Burps.
Steve Zaragoza hitting Netflix in May
with the burpler
effect.
So speaking of our busyness and stuff, I want to know what's going on with Wrestling Fred. Talk about Wrestling Fred a little bit.
New episode of Wrestling Fred comes out the day this comes out.
Well,
November 4th.
Can we talk about?
Do you want to talk about it or not?
Let's back up a little bit.
Back to business.
Because first of all, I hope you don't think I'm a bad friend for asking for the questions I'm about to ask you.
Oh, okay.
But I believe it was last week you revealed a photo of a very amazing looking set.
Yeah.
And I think what's in there?
It's cottage.
Is that some parmesan?
I don't know what's in there, but it smells like shit.
You know what's interesting, man? Parmesan
smells horrible.
How dare you? You just disgraced your Italians.
Most of it's wood chips.
Let me say something about Parmesan cheese, god damn it. It is spelled Parmesan.
Yeah.
Where's the Jean?
Parmesan.
We're Parmesan. Parmesan cheese.
Papa John's cheese.
The other day, I saw a picture of someone who turned a Papa John's pizza box with a photo of Papa John's on it into an Elton John, and he drew like sunglasses and earrings on Papa John, and it looked exactly like Elton John. And I got a real kick out of it. Yeah, it was great.
That's the defining characteristic
of Elton John and Papa John.
Yeah.
But yeah, you posted a picture of this beautiful set. So is this the Rock Channel thing?
That's the one.
Dude, you have to tell me all about this.
Fuck. Where do we start?
So, like, you did the thing with The Rock, which was amazing.
The promo contest.
The promo contest.
I lost the contest. And okay. In the process, I impressed The Rock, and now I have a show.
And you gained a show. Okay, so The Rock.
Lose a contest, gain a show. It's that old adage.
Dude, it's great.
I believe
great.
That's a Confucius.
Confucius?
Yeah.
So, explain to me. How this happened so fast.
Did it
happen so fast?
Yes, and around the same time a bunch of other things were happening, and I'm doing so much cool stuff, but I have zero perspective on it. And anytime one of my family members or a friend asks me what I'm doing, I'm like, you know, just being busy.
Yeah, it's tough.
And I have so many cool things to say that I think about after that conversation.
Like, dude, I was thinking,
we had that fucking, I don't want to get too off topic, okay. But we had that cool fucking Batman and Robin cartoon come out.
There's more coming too. We recorded more for
and
for
so
stuff.
Many things that like if that was the only thing, we'd be pushing it so hard.
Yeah, but there's too much going on.
There's too much. It's
dude,
crazy.
I'm to a smaller degree, I feel like I'm in the same boat. Like I definitely forget to tell people things that I'm working on.
Right.
And there's really cool stuff and it's weird to forget about that.
Yeah.
It's also good stuff.
Right. It's also cool when they like Elliot, I'll just see him in something or interviewing somebody for like lip sync battle.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not tell me you met Chris D'Elia?
I know, right?
He's like, yeah, I just fucking forgot.
You know what, man? When you're doing that though, when like I did at Comic-Con where the amazing celebrities are just coming in and out like that.
Yeah.
Like
name drop.
Dude, I can't remember. Like I will look at a photo that someone took, name drop them just by saying celebrities.
You know that we're dropping.
This. You know that that magician, Jonathan Celebrities, Amazing Celebrities,
the amazing Celebrities. Jonathan Celebrities.
Dude, when I was at Sony, me and my friends came up with a stripper name called Stars Galore. And it's like, coming to the stage, Stars Galore. Anyway, it's so. Like I'll sometimes will see a picture someone posts of like me and someone and I'll be like, oh fuck, I forgot I fucking interviewed that person.
Yeah.
And it'll just blow my goddamn mind. So yeah, it's not a personal thing that he didn't tell you he interviewed Chris Dilley.
No, not at all.
But anyway, so the fucking Wrestling Fred thing happened so fast, Mike.
Yeah, man. So I lost the contest. There were celebrity wrestling judges, and none of the judges knew any of the rules for the contest. So one of them voted me out. I'm not going to say names, but it was Mick Foley.
Was it really?
Yeah, wrestling hardcore legend Mick Foley.
Did he just not get it or something? Or
he thought I was... Here's what he said. He said I was one of the... He gave me an unbelievable comment. compliment. And he was like, one of the funniest, most engaging people I've ever seen on the mic. Wow. Which was from a real
Jesus Christ.
Pro wrestler. That's amazing.
Dude, and fucking Mick Foley. Like, I know who Mick Foley is.
Good.
And that's amazing, Mike. That's someone that is in a field you love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And someone that you debatably kind of idolize. Like, you love this guy.
I don't idolize Mick Foley, but I love what he does. So, I've always loved what he did.
A professional in a field that you absolutely love.
Yeah. And still very much involved in the product now.
Yeah.
He's on TV as a general manager role.
And commented on you in that way, which is that's fantastic.
But then he voted me out. So fuck him.
So why did he vote you out? He said
that my character, which is Wrestling Fred, which is a ridiculous character, was kind of doing an impression of a wrestler and wasn't really a wrestler, which is exactly what you get when you create a contest on the internet.
That's vague.
That's a vague, like, funny roast battle that... is contingent upon your comedic timing.
Based on comedy.
Right. I'm very clearly not a wrestler. I didn't enter that contest because I'm a wrestler. I entered that contest because I love wrestling and I love promos.
But I guess if you were also a wrestler, then that would be like perfect for the contest.
Right. And that's the guy who won, but they also said like no profanity, and the guy who won drops an F-bomb every 5 seconds.
They stretch the rules a little bit.
My whole family, my dad daily says like, you know, you should have won that contest. Like, I don't give a fuck about winning. The belt was awesome.
Yeah.
And I don't have a belt, and that kind of sucked. But if Wrestling Fred, his gimmick is that he's never won anything.
Yeah.
So
he's like a laughing stock.
It would have killed his character.
Yeah.
To win a
That's
contest.
That's like an end game for Wrestling Fred.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like the end of Wrestling Fred's movie is that he wins the belt and that's the end.
And then you never hear from him.
Yeah.
And but that's, it's and the very character's on done. Brand for him to lose. So,
but you got something, you won something arguably better than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was over the moon when I think I lost in like the semifinals or some shit like that. And then the finals were in Las Vegas and they called me and they're like, can you get to Las Vegas?
Which is when you asked me if I wanted to go to Vegas.
Yes.
And you were like, this is my bachelor party. Like an asshole. Yeah. It made me rethink every important thing I had to do.
Listen, I understand if you're busy. But this is my bachelor's party.
This is my bachelor party.
And everyone else backed out, and it's just you and me, bud.
Like, you know how we just talked about how we're so busy and our time is so precious? Like, I was, like, scrambling. I was like, I've got to move everything. I've got to move everything.
Everyone else bailed out.
Yeah, you said that.
I'm Ellie funny. Really funny.
Yeah, it's good. You got me real good. So they asked you to come to
Vegas. Elliot all the time, and I feel really bad about it.
I love it.
Because
I feel
like I steal every bit of genuineness that Elliot has, and I waste it on jokes and lies.
It's so good. Well, the thing is like, you definitely go back and forth between how genuine and what's the other word? You're just you're a very genuine and tells it like it is kind of guy.
Yeah.
But like when you go over that line over into the realm of maybe this is a lie, then it's like not fair.
Yeah. Because everyone, because I built up so many karma points.
You've created too much trust. And then you break it in a heartbeat.
That's my favorite.
It's real good. It's a good bit. I like it.
It's a good bit. Lying is a good bit.
It's a unique bit.
Eric DeBarge.
Well, it's not really lying if your whole bit is being trustworthy. It's more like you are so trustworthy, you got to try out.
Take a breather.
Yeah, you're taking a you're playing a game.
And I I'm usually too guilty to be like, That's how it is. I'll let you find out.
That's the thing. You like almost right away will be like, yeah, never mind.
Instantly.
Yeah. So you went to Vegas.
So I went to Vegas and I got to, the thing with the contest was every promo in the earlier rounds was, you know, it's scripted and you edit your video and you send it in. So it's all like cut up and whatever. Everybody's perfect. But in the finals, you had to drop a live promo and roast the person across from you. live.
Which is that video that went up with you in it as Wrestling Fred.
Yeah,
you and it was very good and very funny.
Thanks, man.
It's we like all watched 19 it. Minutes. We watched it in the well. We
I think we, Will told me. Will texted me and he told me everybody was watching.
Yeah,
and that made me very happy.
Yeah, we all watched it in the editor's room and we were like fucking dying.
That's fucking
it,
awesome.
It is a 19-minute video, so we were just scrubbing.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
find
yeah.
you. And then once we found you, we were like,
you didn't miss much.
Yeah. Okay.
There was like a little backstory on what they do in Vegas. Yada yada.
Okay.
So I didn't allow myself like any cuts or whatever. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do a promo like The Rock used to do. And I'm going to roast these motherfuckers.
So
and
good.
Then I'm going to be, I told myself I'm going to be the funniest person here by a long shot.
Well, how much time did you have to prep your roast comments?
I showed up there not knowing what I was going to say.
So did you, Again. Were they, did they tell you it was going to be like a roast almost?
Yeah, but I didn't know who I was going to be
wow.
talking about or whatever.
That's fucking crazy.
And it was crazy, man. With DJ or Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he's busier than both of us will ever be.
Sure.
Regardless of what level what, of fame we reach.
Sure.
No one has ever been busier than The Rock.
Yeah, hardest working man in entertainment,
God,
maybe.
When he was creating the heavens and earth. Was just slightly busier than The Rock. So he comes, and the whole time the producers and the production team are like, we got DJ for an hour and a half. We're going to run through it 1,000 times so we know this shit like clockwork. He's going to come in and just insert himself being perfect into this, and then we're going to have a thing. And that's exactly what happened. They ran it by him like 1.5 times. He was like, got it.
Holy
shit. And then he did it. And he might have stopped once. Also, I might have already said this, but I watched him flub a line, and I've never laughed harder in my entire life. Because I've never seen him mess up.
You don't see him do that, yeah.
And he, like, flubbed a line, then he laughed about it, and I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen with mine eyes.
Wow.
So I went in, and you could see there are 2 times on film where I make him laugh. And then
which is amazing.
They took that. It was the highlight of my life. So
it was
far.
Like watching your kid win the football championship.
Yeah. Making the football team laugh.
Yeah. I was like, I felt like a very proud friend.
You're proud pop-pop?
When I watched that. I was a proud pop-pop.
No, that was the best. And then after that, they were like, listen, we can't say too much, but we want to try to have Fred on the channel in some other way. Because I guess the audience really liked him too. So
that's great.
We did kind of an episode zero of Friday Night Fred, which is his talk, his monthly talk show.
So was that a pilot that you made?
Kind of.
Did you make it on your own or you went to them?
No,
and...
with two of the boys.
Okay.
From I filmed an intro in Fred's studio, which is in my house. And then we did a man on the street thing at Monday Night Raw. At the Staples Center.
Okay.
Where we just went around and we asked wrestling fans. I was like, I'm the shitty wrestler. I've never won anything, but The Rock gave me this show and I can't flounder this opportunity. So I
did that go up somewhere?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So okay. That's like kind of episode one. But
and that's on your channel or that ended
no,
up
no,
going
that's,
there?
That's on
that's
the
like
Rock
the first one.
Yeah, it's over 100,000 whatever's on The Rock channel.
That's so great, Mike.
So now they built me this set. So now
which
I have
is beautiful.
A show with like segments and shit.
Wow.
When we were on the set the other night, first of all, I texted Delman and Elliot as soon as I got there because I was like, this show. As a crew of 6 people, and that's already 6 times funnier than any of the jokes will be. The fact that Wrestling Fred has a show on The Rock's channel, The Rock knows who a man named Wrestling Fred is,
dude,
has said that name out loud. That's weird and hilarious.
This is like Wayne's World.
Yes, 100%. When Wayne's World gets bought out by the arcade,
yeah.
It's all fancy.
Yeah, it's like that.
That's what's happening
yeah.
in my life.
Right yeah.
Now. So now,
except not the bad stuff.
Not the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Only it's only getting
there's
funnier.
No evil conglomerate guy making
no,
you. Yeah.
No, no, not at all. It's the opposite. They're like, this is your show, and we don't want to take anything away from like when you used to do it on your channel. It's everything is still yours. We're just adding to it and putting it on. This
That's
channel.
So good. But you're being seen by a viewership of wrestling fans.
Yeah,
which is
people
great.
Who get me.
Great, great, great.
Yeah.
That would be the equivalent of me getting onto Jash or something, like Tim and Eric's little like
yeah.
network and,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
getting to do something under them.
Which you very well might.
Someday maybe someday.
Jash DeBarge.
Timothy Jash.
So Even today, we were shooting the opening sequence, like the title sequence, mm-hmm. which is kind of like a play on the Mary Tyler Moore opening sequence.
Oh my God, that's great.
Which really only has three shots in it. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever noticed.
Yeah, oh yeah, I've seen it.
It's like her crossing a street, her throwing a hat into the air, her driving, and something else over and over again, which is weird and hilarious. So we went down to the Santa Monica Pier. And you might know from pictures or you might know from being there that there's a Ferris wheel there and there's a roller coaster.
Yes.
I had never been on either. I've taken pictures of them. I've walked by them a million times. A lot of people go there on drug.
Yes.
But we went.
Or to catch Pokemon.
Or to catch Pocket Man.
Pocket Man.
You guys still playing Pocket Man Go? So I went up there. And we filmed just him like dicking around on the pier and trying not to get kicked off because we were filming stuff. And I went on the Ferris wheel for the first time and the roller coaster for the first time as a fictional wrestler.
And did you like GoPro it or something?
Well, they filmed it and shit.
Dude,
real,
what?
Real sneaky.
Had you ever been on a Ferris wheel before?
But I'm just thinking, like, if I have a kid someday, and they're like, oh, the famous skyline from Santa Monica. Have you ever been on that roller coaster? Have you ever been on the Ferris wheel? Like, yes.
Why, yes, I have, son.
As a wrestler named Wrestling Fred. and The Rock paid for our ticket. What a ridiculous life
Dude,
story
to
have.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, man. So I'm... We have at least four episodes, and this first one is fucking awesome. It's all about the election, and it's perfect because it's barely about the election. It's just making a joke about how everybody. I don't want to spoil anything.
Don't spoil it.
But there
I can't
are like
wait
several
to see
segments,
it.
And all of them are gold, in my opinion.
Dude, I'm so excited for you. This is amazing.
It's gonna be great, man. Thank
it's
you.
It's a little playground for you.
Oh hell yeah.
That's
very
so,
much so
great.
And I just like when you were saying about how the greatest possible scenario is when they have you host it your way.
Yes.
First of all, everyone's going to smarten up to that by some point in your mind, anyone's career who's like established themselves first on YouTube
and earned that
and earned
earn
it. Right. They don't, your audience doesn't want to see you be a weatherman.
Yeah. They don't want you neutered at all.
So sometimes we have to run the script by DJ and by his main dude who used to be a writer for WWE.
Wow.
And so they have to approve everything, but also they're like, you know, obviously riff and improv anything.
Yeah.
So they'll give me a line that's like, and make sure you go out to vote on Tuesday, November 8th. But by the end of it, it'll just be something fucking ridiculous. And I'll just be watching all the cameramen die. And that's kind of my only goal is like, I want to make the cameraman ruin the shot.
Yeah.
By laughing.
Dude, that's one of my greatest loves on being on a set.
Popping the crew.
Is really like making the crew laugh.
Yeah.
Like back when Bowman used to direct a lot of our stuff, it was my pleasure to make Bowman laugh behind the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
And really a lot of that stuff was just for Bowman.
Yeah.
To make that guy laugh.
But
I love
that's
that.
What makes it different from everybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, a lot of people are in it for themselves and they're there for them and then they leave.
Yeah.
But I love making friends with like the crew and I love getting to know everybody and making them laugh and finding out what makes them laugh and what they like. And
then
it's
you
gotta
be in with the editor.
You gotta have
a good relationship with the editor because you don't wanna imagine how shitty someone's life would have to be to edit you for hours on end if they didn't like it.
Yeah, you gotta make a good impression. You gotta go in there into that editing room.
You have
like
to do a good impression of the editor.
You've gotta do a great impression of the editor in front of the editor.
Here's my Owen.
That's actually not how it went.
Well, you weren't smoking when you did that. Yeah. And you definitely weren't wearing a white t-shirt.
And the last thing I wanted to say was, because you were so nice about the set, The Rock texted us on set the other night and said the set looked awesome.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that cool, man?
Mike.
From the set of Jumanji. What's bound to be a blockbuster
fucking
film. That's
going to be a massive hit,
So he took time out of his day to be like, set looks great, you guys.
Jesus Christ, Mike.
Yeah,
this
man.
Is so glorious. I'm so happy for you.
Even if there's only four episodes of this thing, I'm gonna.
It's impossible.
It for sure.
This is going to be a big thing. It has to be.
I hope so, man.
It's too funny and too cool and too good.
I would love, even if you don't like it, I would implore the beautiful podcast audience, and I want to say something about you guys in a second, but I would would implore you to go at least watch the first episode of this thing. It's on The Rock's YouTube channel. It'll be out November 4th. And hopefully we have this conversation a million other times about movies that we're in or big shows that we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
We fucking love you guys because we're 100% perfectly ourselves on this fucking show.
Yeah.
And you guys love it. And, dude, I don't know if you've checked recently. Mm-hmm. Our podcasts between the two almost have 2 million listens.
I
That's insane.
I have not checked, but that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I had a feeling that we were... Someone said something to me about how many views. I think Phil was asking me or something what kind of, like, views we get or listens we get on our podcast. Mm. And I really wasn't sure. But I think Owen or somebody came to me and was like, dude, you guys are doing really well on this podcast.
Isn't that nuts?
That's so... It's a blessing.
Yeah.
It's because really, like, I don't know if I've said this. I may have said this, but... And you kind of just said it. But this is like... This is unfiltered us, right? Like, this is us. Like, this isn't, no one is above us in this scenario. This is, we are in charge fully of this show.
Yeah.
And we're saying literally whatever we want with very minimal edits. Every once in a while, we kind of have to cut some stuff out. But for the most part.
One very long ad read we did where we cut a good 45 minutes out of it.
Yes, there was.
But it was the funniest thing we had ever done.
And that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, this is like us getting to just make each other laugh, and for some reason in the process there is a viewership, a listenership,
yeah,
that also enjoys listening to us make each other laugh.
I think there's
and that's amazing.
Yeah, man, people just like hearing people have a good time. I think
it's so, like, too.
When you're the host of a stand-up show, as I'll be doing in a couple minutes, you're supposed to make the host, the audience feel like this is the best night of your life and you're happy to be there. And stand-up tip in general, like, if you're having a great time, it gives people permission to have a great time.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that translates into anything you do. Especially if you have your own, like, YouTube channel. Try to put that before anything else. If you look like you're having a great time, people will have a great time with you.
And, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I 100% stand by that as well, Mike. I hope none of what you just said was racist. Well, on that note, I think it's time for a history road.
Historic way?
It's time for a historically road walk.
I'll get to my list next time.
Oh, no. That's okay.
No, it's a segment for next time.
See, guys, this is what we were talking about with time. We just don't have it.
Yeah.
I've got laundry in the laundry room right now, and it's in the wet one. And it's just been sitting in wetness.
That's the mold one. It's in the moldiest one.
Zach Garcia sent us an email with the subject line, Past Avenue History Road.
Past Ave.
And he says, Grand Challenge and Confectioner's Glaze. Me and my friend Tito started playing a new card game called Grand Challenge. It's like other classic card games, Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, and Yu-Gi-Oh. You versus another player using spell cards and attack cards with characters on them, like ghouls, witches, dads, to attack the other player cards. One match, I was destroying Tito. I was laying down cards like loose 2x damage or the go straight to jail card and attacking Mr. Green, Rock Golem, and Timmy 2 shots. It seemed like an easy victory until Tito reaches into his deck and pulls the spell card, Confectioner's Glaze. I was frightened, not knowing the card's effects. He read it, my attackers on the field all couldn't move, and my deck was a little bit sticky. He cleaned up shop, destroying my monsters, unable to defend. The match was over. Tito had won with the most powerful card in the game. Love, Zach. P.S. Don't grade on punctuation or spelling, just creativity. That's it.
That's the whole thing?
There's a short road.
That is an avenue.
That was a 0.2 mile road.
That's about a 0.2 road.
I like that. It was a good little story.
I liked it.
He was beaten by confectioner's glaze.
And who isn't in this day and age?
We all are. We're all fools and slaves to confectioner's glaze.
We've all fell to the blade.
We all bow to the power of confectioner's glaze.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, fuck it. We did it, Mike. We made an episode of Dynamic Banter.
We got to film another one, man.
We have to film one.
I don't like this. First of all, I do like not seeing each other for days on end. And
yes,
then doing
it's nice.
This. I think it makes it better.
It's like when you don't masturbate for 3 days because of busyness, and then you do it, and it feels so good.
You ever forget that it's an option?
I do forget it's an option.
Like, I'm about to go to bed, but I feel like I could do something else.
I have a little bit of time before I go to bed.
Do I do laundry again?
Maybe I could do laundry again. Like, oh yeah, masturbating. I forgot about that.
Dude, there's something going on with my iPod where it's playing everything I've ever downloaded rather than what's just on the phone.
Well, you know what your problem is?
I don't think I have a problem. It's glorious.
No, the problem is that you're using an iPod.
iPod, that's the one. I've been making calls on it.
You're trying to make calls on an iPod.
Siri, call mom. Mom's birthday. Set a reminder.
iPod, call Siri.
iPod, where's Siri? I was listening to an old Louis C.K. record, and he said something to the effect of, he needs to come every day. And he said, I started when I was 12 and I haven't skipped a day. He was like, I love it. I need to do it every day.
That's so good. I wonder if that's an OCD thing. Like, oh shit, I haven't jizzed. I'll be right back.
I didn't turn the stove off, but that's secondary.
Flip the light switch 4 times and masturbate. Now I can go to work.
I have to flip my wiener around 4 times.
Helicopter wiener 3 times. Jerk off and light switch 4 times. Now I can go to work.
Hump the wall, hump the wall, hump the wall, and it's bedtime.
Open, close fridge, and back to work.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
For being a friend and your pal and a confidant.
Thanks for the water.
You're welcome, and I'm going to Delaware, man. Wish me luck.
Good luck. I am very jealous of your... You have to let me know. Please take pictures of the Punkin' Chunkin'.
Thank you. I will take a lot of pictures. I will be with the lovely Whitney Moore. We were
nice.
Going together, and it's
she is lovely. She's out of her mind. I like her about
it. Dude, I love her for that. She's a crazy woman, and she's so funny and weird and down for weird shit, and I love her for it.
We just did a table talk and went off the rails fast.
That's the best, man. She's so good. She's great. She's a great addition to the team.
Last thing I want to say is this is a fun fact for anyone who knows us from SourceFed.
Mm-hmm.
You might notice that at the end of the White Walls, they have a Discovery Go. Discovery Go has an app that you can go check out and watch all the Discovery Go shows.
Okay.
And usually a host will throw to a specific show.
Okay.
And I've thrown to Punkin' Chunkin' too many times. To the point where they won't let me do it anymore.
They're like, we don't need Mike to do Punkin' Chunkin'
anymore.
No.
Audrey says, don't do Punkin' Chunkin'
anymore.
Because
there's too many.
You've done that too many times.
But you wanted to do it?
I want to do it every time.
Well, shit, I wish it was you going.
So please let me know how it is.
Well, I will, and I'll try to bring you back a trebuchet.
In Delaware.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes if you would like to do that. And if you want to send us your history roads, you can send those to dynamicbanter@gmail.com, and we might read them someday. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you. We will hear you next time.
I'll talk to you when we decide to talk about it. But as for now, see you.
Our voices will once again be heard from you one more.
I'll take a stab at it. And if you're around the next time we do this, then make sure you are.
If you've got a minute next time you hear us, you'll enjoy it.
It's about it. Tonight.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.